In Genesis chapter 3, you remember Adam and Eve have disobeyed God, sinned, and eaten of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and thus they have lost their relationship to God, and they need to have that restored. God, in His grace and kindness, knew all this and made a wonderful promise to them. And in, as it's known, Genesis 3 and in verse 15. In the light, and this is to the serpent now. Each time God talks to the Eve, God talks to Adam, and God talks to the serpent, which is the devil himself. And thus, and you know he's the serpent because when you come to the end, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that old serpent, the devil, the dragon, Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan, the devil himself. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, wonderful, wonderful statement is made. And Adam and Eve are there listening to this, their witnesses, being hearers of all of it, and participants in it. Now, what did you say, God, that is a miracle of miracles and a mystery of all mysteries? What did you just say? Verse 15. I will put enmity, hatred, hostility between thee. I will put that between you, the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman. And, say it again, and between thy seed, all that represent you, and her seed, all that represent her. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the word bruise is used twice, and it has to do with that which is to crush, to bruise, to destroy, to cover, to overwhelm, to subdue, to conquer, to bruise, to destroy. Thus, verse 15, it shall bruise thy head, and her seed shall bruise thy head. And that means he's going to bruise thy head, to bring it to nothing, to destroy it, to overwhelm it. In other words, Christ is going to go and take care of the devil and all of the results on Calvary's cross and crush him, defeat him, overwhelm him. And thou, the devil, shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, Christ, shall bruise the heel. And the word crush, bruise, and there's another little word right in the middle of all of that, bite. Just think of a crushing, biting. The God is going to crush the totality, the head of the devil. And the devil is going to go and bring Christ to the cross, as it were, to crucify him. And that is like bite, to crush. You're going to try to crush him, his heel. And God is ending up crushing his head. Now, the mystery. I will put enmity, hostility between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, the question arises. Do you see in verse 15, the woman and her seed? Now, in the light of that, how could the seed of the woman crush the serpent's head? That's a question. When the woman herself has no seed. How does the seed of the woman crush the serpent's head when the woman has no seed? She has no seed. Now, so that's the question. That's the question. And they know that in the normal things, the seed biologically lies with the male, not with the woman. And so her seed, and her seed is in the masculine seed. Her seed, but she doesn't have a seed. No, she doesn't. But her seed. Not anyone else's, just hers, her seed. Now, and you know, without doing all of that, you know, answering this mystery of all mysteries, how can this be? So you know that in an egg, using an egg needs to be fertilized, and or else it will never hatch. In other words, you could take your eggs you buy in the market and take the eggs and put them in your something and wait to have little chickens so that you could save money and the eggs become chickens and you had a whole meal from one egg, that is by the chicken. But the egg will never become a chicken. Never, never, never become a chicken unless it is fertilized. The egg just is going to be what it is all the time. Now, but, and the sperm of the male needs to be there. Now, but in the insect world, in the algae world, insect vegetation, that is not quite true. So we have an illustration of the queen bee, and the queen bee lays both fertilized and unfertilized eggs, both. And the fertilized eggs are called the workers. They're the workers, and they exercise in their efforts and energy in work. The unfertilized eggs are the male. They're called drones, and they're the males. So here's the queen bee with the fertilized eggs, workers, and the unfertilized eggs, drones, or the males. They're the males of the hive, of the family, household. Now, that's the natural process, and it's called parthenogenesis. That's the title for insects and algae, etc., plants. And that means patho, made, virgin. And then you add the word genesis. So it has to do, pathogenesis has to do with the reproduction by the development of an unfertilized egg to be fertilized. An unfertilized egg will produce something called pathogenesis. It's a special thing. So now, and we're going to pick it up in a bit, but just so you see the word, pathogenesis. And then there is this word, parthenos, which is in Matthew 1:23, the word virgin. There's the word, pathogenesis, only just the first word, patho, maiden, pathogenesis. It's a special thing. So a virgin. Now, what word did you use? To form the virgin, a virgin shall conceive. And it is this word, parthenos, and it has to do with this reproduction without anything. So her seed in the masculine, you're going to ask yourself, now how can it be that this seed could happen? How can is it possible, this wonderful mystery that cannot be explained? A mystery is in God's word. A mystery is something that means God makes it happen, and there's no explanation for it apart from God. That's a mystery. If you can explain it, it's not a mystery. It's a mystery because you can't explain it. You can't explain it. No, you can't explain it. So now it's an awesome miracle, mystery, and it has to do with what? Way back in the very, very, very front of humanity, God said there needs to be a woman, a virgin birth. Very beginning, the very first thing he said, there needs to be a special virgin birth. It can't be like you're going to have Abel, Cain. You can't be like that. It has to be very special, very special. So now, having said that, and God in his wonderful kindness in the light of that, he gives this prophecy, which is utterly impossible, or is it? And in order for the Messiah to come, he must come by the virgin birth, and all the prophets point to it, the promises point to it, and it must be fulfilled. And remember now, in Galatians, you don't have to turn there, in Galatians, the seeds, there's seeds, Galatians 3, seeds many. Are you talking about seeds all the, apart from here, all the word seed, over 100 times, masculine, seed, masculine, masculine, masculine. But here, Genesis 3, feminine, in the sense it's used of a woman. But only here, of a woman, of a woman. And thus, in Galatians and that, there are many, many seeds, but there's only one seed that counts, and that seed, singular, masculine, is Christ. So the seed of the woman, pointing to the resolution to this, is going to be the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so having said that, and God in his mercy and grace, goes and he's going to remedy what Eve got herself into. And by her disobedience, he's going to rectify, transform, change. God, how are you going to remedy the sin of Adam and Eve? I'm going to remedy it by the a virgin birth, a special, special birth, not like Adam. Now, just so you can see it, they have this wonderful promise, the seed of the woman. So when you come to remember to chapter 4, Genesis, verse 1, Adam knew his Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And the word gotten, bring to oneself, to possess, to acquire. I have acquired the solution. Out of me, seed of the woman, has come the son. But no, not at all. This son is Cain, and she thought, well, he's going to come from a woman, but she didn't understand. She didn't understand. And thus Cain was born by Adam and Eve. And Cain came into the world. And Cain and his is there. And God is going to give a wonderful, wonderful sign to us in Cain. Cain is going to be all upset now. Remember, Adam and Eve, this is the answer. This is the promised one. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And in verse 8, chapter 4, Cain goes and takes his brother, as you know, Abel, and he hates. What's he hate? He hated what Abel did. Abel honored the promise of Genesis 3:15 and brought the blood of the animal to sacrifice. There needs to be a special birth, a special person. And Abel honored that. And Cain did not. He did not. He was not the one. He was not the one. He's the first one, but he's not the one. And when you're not the one, and you're not king of the mountain, then you try to knock everyone else out of the game so that you can possess what you have. And Cain did what the flesh does, our human nature. He went, in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And Cain went and slew his brother. Now, what do we have? Well, we have humanity. Is humanity happy? Cain, are you happy? Are all the children, sons and daughters, many, 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 are all of them there? Are they happy with the understanding that they are not the seed? They're not the seed. No, they're not happy. Oh, some believed. But most of them did not. And so when you come to Genesis 6, what do you have? You have eight souls. Just eight people are able to get. Eight people are able to go and get to the into the ark. And so you get a whole vast field of humans that are not, they're not happy with this program, that God is a special way to do something, and that somehow they have been excluded because they're born in Adam's sin, with Adam's sin, and they're excluded. So they are not happy at all. And so the eight people, out of eight people, come two people. And two they're going to be Shem and his wife. So all of them, here's the seed, and there's a line, her seed. So it has to come a woman in the same line as Eve, going down, believing woman. And is it Shem and his wife? No, it's not going to be them. And then we come to moving through history. We go to Joash. And Joash, remember, is in the line of Solomon and in the line of royalty. And what are you going to do? Remember now, here's, it narrows down a woman. A woman, a special woman, and a special birth, a virgin birth in a very special way. And everyone else is excluded. So now, we aren't in. So we're out. We aren't happy that we're outsiders. And we're rebelling against that. Now, so in the process, here and always rebellion there. So go with me, please, to pick up that on Joash. Over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 11. And in 2 Kings chapter 11, picking up in verse 1, and Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal. So every legitimate, everyone in the line of Solomon, she killed all the males. So that there'd be no one left from the line, the family of Solomon. No one left. Ah. But God in his kindness had one. And thus you come down, as you know. And picking up in verse 2, and Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, so that they didn't know, which were slain, and hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And verse 3, and he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. So here they are, and you slide your eye over, if you can, to the end of chapter 11. And all the people of the land, verse 20, all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. And seven years old was Jehoash, which is the same, when he began to reign. So he reigned. Now, you eliminated everyone in the line of Solomon except this little boy. That's right. Boy. Just a little boy. So understand, here's a vast humanity, including Israel. And God has a way. He's going to do this. And is anyone happy with the plan of Genesis 3:15? It's impossible for a woman to have a baby with no seed. But her seed. But she doesn't have a seed. No, she doesn't. And is anyone? No, we aren't happy at all with this. At all. And so God, it's so little, what a line. And then the devil's busy trying to always eliminate the seed in any way for the woman to be existent. So now, having said that, over if you would please, God is going to go in his wonderful way and work it out. So, having said that, and you know that God is going to go and take one tribe, God is going to take one tribe. His 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel, and God is going to take one tribe, just one. Just one. And he's going to take one tribe. One family, one tribe, one family out of the one tribe, and that's the family of David. You're going to take Judah, of all the tribes, and then there's Judah. And then you're going to take out of Judah one tribe, and you're going to take out of that one tribe, and he's in the line of David. You're going to do that. And God, did you change Genesis 3:15? Did you back off from saying something that's impossible? Nope, didn't back off from it, nope. And here we are going down the corridor of time looking, and God, you're going to say it again? Here's all the line, here's the Jews, here's the tribe of Judah, here are the families of Judah, and here they are going down the corridor, and the corridor, and somewhere there's a woman in there, there's a woman, gonna be, but we aren't all happy with this. And in fact, it's so impossible and impractical, such a miracle, such a mystery, that you wouldn't expect it to ever be. It's a fairy tale. A fairy tale. Aha. Now, you understand why the world? So we're going to have a problem with God. God said it right up front. He told them what he was going to do. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, over to Isaiah, moving into the Assyrian, northern 10 tribes, etc. God, what are you going to say to Israel? Now, you know these. All I'm doing is putting it together for you. See it. Because it's impossible, and no one wants to believe it's possible. We say the virgin birth of Christ, but we don't know what we just said. We just say that, but we don't understand that. Not you guys, but we don't understand. And therefore, no. If you really don't understand, no. It's like us. The virgin birth is like us. It comes out of us. It's like us. Christ is going to be like us. Oh, no, he isn't. Oh, no, he isn't. That's the trouble. We don't really understand what he's going to be. Now, Isaiah chapter 7, as you know. Picking up, please. In Isaiah chapter 7. And as you know, to Ahaz wasn't going to believe God, wasn't going to trust God, wasn't going to listen to God. And therefore, verse 13, 7:13 of Isaiah. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. House of David, Judah. Hear ye now, O house of David. If it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Are you going to insult God? Because he said something and he said, God, you can't do it. It isn't going to happen. What a silly thing. And it doesn't include any of us. No, it doesn't. Verse 14. Therefore, since Ahaz, you aren't going to believe. Israel, you're not going to believe. The world, you're not going to believe. But, therefore, the Lord himself, God believes. God does it. Thus, God, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And what is that? Well, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. A virgin's going to go, the word Alma, and it means a young, unmarried woman. And unmarried women, this word Alma, unmarried women, in the Near East countries out there was the policy of all the countries that when you were a unmarried woman, you were somewhat standing back, you were retired retired, concealed, in which the, in other words, you push back, you aren't, you're there, but you're not fully into society in that sense. And thus, the unmarried. And by the way, unmarried woman, it is the same, this word Alma, is the same for an unmarried man. And it is used of David when the king says, "You are just a youth, a stripling." The word stripling is this word that you're looking at. This word you're looking at. And thus, the word virgin. You're a young, David, you are a young, unmarried man. That's correct. This woman is going to be a young, unmarried woman. That's correct. And God's going to add to it, so you have no question, but there it is. And God said, a sign, and the woman, behold, the woman, a virgin, an unmarried woman, shall conceive, shall be pregnant, and shall bear a son. It's a participle, is bearing a son, and the son that she is bearing is going to be shall call his name Emmanuel, which is two words, with us, God. With us, God. Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. That's what you're going to call. The son that comes out of this virgin is going to be called. She's going to be pregnant, and you're going to be pregnant, but how? Going to be pregnant, and she's going to come forth, and his name is going to be called Emmanuel. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and over, if you would, while you're there, thinking of it, and remember, we just read it in Matthew chapter 1, a virgin shall conceive. And so now, over to right next door, right not far away, to tie together in your mind, because you're going to have two of the words that are in chapter 7:14 repeated again. Isaiah chapter 9, I'm picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Going directly in the light of the context. 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Born, there's the word. Remember you read in Isaiah 7:14. She'll conceive and bear. Here's your verb again. A child is born. Unto us, a child is born, but a son is given, not born. A child is born. We got that part. That's right. And the word born there is in the intensive, and to say it in a most painstakingly done, to say the verb, it is, the child is to be born in a most painstakingly done way with careful, steady effort. That's the verb. The birth of this son, is going to be done with such meticulousness, flawlessness, his birth. Flawlessness. A creative act of God. Now, and thus, verse 9, a child is born and a son is given. Remember, we read John 3:16, God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. A son is given. That's right. A child is born. But a son is given. Come together. Now, and this particular person who is born and yet given at the same time, his wonderful humanity, his wonderful deity, brought together. And this person, verse 6, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, as the government is a leadership upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's a participle, to make, the word counsel, to make, to firm, to support, and the word wonderful, extraordinary, surpassing. There's nothing too hard from God. He's an extraordinary all-surpassing counselor, all-wise, all-knowing, thus the firmness and support of all of his thought and all of his word and all of his action. Thus, you could say, the wonder of such a counselor. God, you're able to go and put all the pieces together of forever. That's correct. This one born of a virgin, seed of the woman, can do all of that. Absolutely. And he's the mighty God, the mighty omnipotent, powerful, heroic, the God who goes to war to win. He's the mighty God. That's what you just had. Emmanuel with us, God. And here's God again. Same thing. And he's the mighty God. You mean this one born of a virgin, this person coming, is God? Uh-huh. He's God. And not only is he God, he's the everlasting Father. You mean to tell me that that's why the Lord Jesus would say, when you've seen me, you have seen what? You have seen the Father. That's why. Why? Because that's what he is. God the Father. God the Son. Wow. And the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Prince, the one, the most extraordinary, most wonderful one to go and make all of it happen. He's the Prince of Peace. And verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord hath performed it, is going to absolutely do it. You mean to tell me this one, Genesis 3:15, born of a woman, the seed of a woman, but the woman has no seed, but you're going to make it happen, and you're going to make it happen. And this one that's special of all humans coming out of the line of Adam, this one is going to be most special. Ah, why aren't we special? Why aren't we singled out? And since we aren't singled out, to you, God. And that's what we do. So now, having said that and thinking that, keeping that in mind, would you go over with me, please, in your Bible, over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew in chapter 1. And you will note, please, in Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to just go to verse 2. Just I want to pick up a little verb repeated over and over. And Judas begat Phares. Oh, excuse me. Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Do you see the word begat? To be born. To generation. To produce. To produce. Male, 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 produce, female, male and female, producing, producing. Male and females in the normal system, husband, wife, out they come, children. And the children are named. So when you come over to verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, okay, and Mary... Mary, of whom was born. And you'll notice what's missing. There's no begat. Because it isn't done by humans. All the way, all the normal process, husband, wife, seed, egg. But not with Mary. And when we write it down, God, you've written it down. Of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So God, you pin that down pretty easy for us. So we have the word Alma, an unmarried woman. And we have the word virgin, as in Matthew 1 and verse 23. And behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. So now we have the Alma, and then we have this Parthenos, and it has to do with the unmarried woman preserving her purity of her body, and she's untouched, virgin. And so we have two different words to help her understand, there's no question. And she stays this way until the birth of his son, birth of Christ. Verse 25, Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So the marriage doesn't take place yet, not until the birth of Christ. And Mary is right down the line until the birth. And after the birth, she has her normal relationships with Joseph, and they have the brothers and sisters. Now, over if you would please, that's where we're going. So it's an impossible thing, a mystery, a miracle. Over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And picking up, if I can, now, I'm interested to put this in focus. Verse 27. So we're going to look at Mary, and Mary's going to ask a very relevant question, very logical question. In verse 27, and the angel came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Remember, the word highly favored is used one more time in the New Testament, and it is used in Ephesians 1, where you are accepted. There's your word. You are highly favored in the beloved Son of God. Only other place. She is highly favored of all women. The church is highly favored of all the people. Wow. And thus, verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Don't be afraid now. And behold, remember now, Elizabeth is going to have a baby, miraculously. And that's called John the Baptist. And God did a miracle what? He made it so that it was too late for her to have any children. That's when God did it. It was too late. But with Mary, it's too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too quick. There's no seed. Ah. Now. So thus, verse 31, and thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, of which she is in the line, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end, a government there's no end. And Mary, listening, this one going to be born out of my womb from me is going to be what? He's going to be. And then she says, "Listen, I'm just a young girl, young unmarried girl. Who am I?" Then said Mary, verse 34, unto the angel, a quite reasonable statement. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then God wonderfully answers it and says, I'm going to tell you how. In Genesis 3:15, I promised it. And all the world has been struggling with it up to now. But I want you to know it's now, and you're the one. But I'm a nobody. That's correct. You're correct. I do wonderful things with nobodies. I do. Now, verse 35, and the angel answered her question. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now you want to think of the shadow when, anyway, you don't, let me just give you one place. Just think of Genesis 1:2, where the Spirit of God, it moved. The Spirit of God is moved over the waters. He is brooding. He is moving, creating, moving, fashioning, brooding, overshadowing, bringing forth life. Wow. That's the word. The Spirit of God, verse 35, shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing. Holy thing. What a way. Holy, holy. The thing born of you. Looking, the holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Shall be called the Son of God. Wow. So here she is looking. How shall this be? And in the process, this one is going to be born, this holy thing. And I would remind you, very quickly if I can, remind you, the Son of God. And you notice the Son of God, actually is no the in the Greek. The Son of God, the excellent, has to do with the excellency to be found in the person of the Son, his character, his wonderful nature. He shall be called the Son of God. He should be called the Son of God. Uh-huh. Wow. And in the process of all of that, wow. God, you're going to go and bring forth a baby. That's right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Mary. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm personally going to make it happen. I'm personally going to go. Patho in Genesis. I'm going to go. I'm going to make it happen. Make it happen. I'm going to do it. The birth is going to be quite normal. The development of the cells dividing to create the body is quite normal. The delivery is quite normal. It's the conception that is different. She provides the egg, and he provides the seed. That's the miracle. That's the wonder. Bypassing all of humanity, bypassing the sin of Adam, etc. So now, in God's savings grace, God, you said it, and God, you're going to do it? I am. But no one believes that. No one says it's impossible. Because we can't do it. No, we can't. Do you know we can't do a lot of things? We can't. And we don't face up to it. But when it comes, God, we use it as an excuse that we're left out and we weren't put in the picture. And God, why aren't we included? Well, we are in a most wonderful way. So Mary, you answered. You're going to answer. You're going to answer the statement of the angel, verse 37. For with God, nothing, a word shall be impossible. There's no word of God, nothing, the word, W-O-R-D. There is no word of God that is impossible. If God said it, God do it. That's all. God said it, God do it. Nothing shall be impossible. And Mary, that's what the angel said. Do you understand? If God said it, he'll do it. That's all. That's all there is to it. Doesn't matter about creation or anything else. God just does it. And when you come now to verse 38, Mary answered, behold the handmaid, I'm just a servant. I'm just a lowly woman. That's all, little girl. But, are you going to make a big to-do about it? Not at all. Be it unto me according to thy word. The word, remember, in verse 38 ties to the word nothing in verse 37. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She said, God, if you said it, do it. According to your word. I know it can't be done, but it is done. If you're going to do it, do it. That's what she said. Wow. But you know what? But no one likes that. No. No, we don't mind talking about Jesus and Bethlehem and birth and crucifixion and the miracle of all miracles and the mystery of all mysteries. Do you understand what happened and why? Oh, no. No, we don't. And if you want us to think that a virgin with no seed, when we really are put face to face with the information and the facts, that can't be. That can't be. But it is. And thus, be it unto me according to thy word. Without faith, it's impossible what? To please him. For he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he what? He is. And if you believe he's God, where's the problem? If you believe he's your God, where's the problem that you have? You believe he's God. But. Do you believe he's God? That's all. But, that's right. That's the trouble. Everyone got the buts. And they walk away, failing to honor God's wonderful person and power and program as promise and prediction, which was absolutely necessary. Therefore, how can we have God's saving grace without the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God, are you going to reward Mary? Yes, I am. Are you going to reward the church that will believe? I am. But God, we don't want to believe because we don't believe that you're able to do what you do. God, are you going to be responsible to be who you are? I am. Are you going to be responsible to honor what you've said? I am. Are you going to be responsible to honor the person and work, Calvary's cross, burial, and resurrection? Are you going to honor the resurrected Christ, the Son, in his perfect humanity? I am. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to honor it in you. Will you allow me, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is to make possible your spiritual birth with God. What God did in the Virgin Mary made possible what God can do in you. And people don't want to believe that, do you? You don't want to believe that God would enter your heart. Really? And you'd really become a child of God. For real. Not make-believe and not a little thing you walk away, you know, nice to be a child, put it down and pick it up. You don't put it down and pick it up. It's there forever. Wow. Would you go with me in closing? Or if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. And you would please note Matthew chapter 19, and picking up if I can, without giving you the whole background, but just enough to get the point. Remember, the rich man wanted to get in and wanted to say, well, how can I get in? And God said, no, none of your riches, none of the system's going to work. How can I make it? You can't make it. God has to do it. The same as he had to do it in the Virgin Mary, he needs to do it in you. You don't believe it could do it in Mary? Then you don't believe he can do it in you. Now, chapter 19. So therefore, verse 23, 19:23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. For again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through, a real live camel, double humps, camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And therefore the disciples heard and said, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And the Lord Jesus said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with compassion, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So if you just understood in the first place, I told you I can do whatever I want. I had a wonderful way to do it, to have the perfectly, to produce in Mary a sinless Son of God to save you. I did that all by myself. And I'm able to save you from all your sin by the death of my Son. Now, in the light of that, and come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You got to come. You got to believe me. You got to believe me. Now that you know, there was a man, a foreman, in a given company that was concerned about his heart, his soul, and he was concerned that he just couldn't come to Christ. Christ wouldn't receive him. He just was having a problem receiving the Lord, honoring the Lord, being saved. He had a problem. And so therefore the owner of the company came and knew that. And so the owner of the company sent the foreman a little note that said, to come to my house immediately after work. So that's the little note that came to the foreman, come to my house immediately after work. And so after work, the foreman came to the house and knocked on the door of the owner. Knocked on the door, and the owner answered it roughly. What do you want, John? What brings you here after work to tell me to take this time, my time? What are you doing here? And thus, the foreman said, well, he said, I had a card from you saying that I was to come after work. I had a little card, and you had your name in it and signed it, to come after work, and I read that little card, and here I am. So the owner said, did you mean to think that I meant that you would just come and to my house based on that little card? He said, I did. I took your word for it, and here I am. So now, you did that, John. I did. I believed what you said in that little card. God, therefore, John, come on in. I have another message for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A message from God. Believe it. But who am I? It isn't a question. The invitation, the offer is given. Come. But, he that cometh to me, I what? You know it, John 6. He that cometh to me, I what? I will no wise cast out. Ah, that's right. So I don't believe. Ah, you better. You better understand. That's the whole problem. That's humanity has a real problem with me being God. They don't mind gods, and they don't mind religion and philosophies and intellect, but to be me, for me to be God, is too impossible. Or is it? God, you said it. Do it. Our Father in God, thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness, and God, for this little bit, help the people, encourage their heart. God, you're a wonderful, wonderful one. God, help us not to be too stupid about it all. Help us not to be too stubborn in our pride. God, help us to bend down that we might look up. God, thank you. Thank you that the impossible is most possible because of who you are. And that, God, what could never be? you have made gloriously possible for our little lives. Wonder of wonders. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Could we stand and sing, please, a stanza? If you would. 548.